our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Show me thy paths, O Lord. Teach me thy perfect way. O guide me in thy truth divine, and lead me day by day. And what follows, Psalter 60, the stanzas 3 through 5. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Romans 12. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait in our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We announce that Mr. and Mrs. Michael and Paula Vandenberg were blessed with the birth of a daughter in this day. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it is thy good and thy merciful hand that has carried us through this day, and where the doors of thy house have been opened for the second time. Then we remember those that are sick, that cannot come up to thy house, and when there are those that will not, we also commend them unto thee. And then in this day, then thou wast granted another child in the midst of the congregation, for a father and mother, after a time of waiting and of prayer, then thou wast gladden them with thy deeds. Ah, may it be encouragement for waiting parents, ah, Lord. Grant unto that father and mother a humble and a broken heart, where thou was spared life, where thou was given life. A little child that had a beginning, but a child which shall never cease to exist, begun her journey to that never-ending eternity. And to that end, may it be a little one of many prayers, may it be one for thee. We commend unto thee the grandparents, the great-grandparents, with the increased blessing and with the increased responsibility. Wilt thou strengthen the mother? Lord, wilt thou remember all the family circles, fathers and mothers with the children? Ah, wilt thou grant a special place at thy footstool, where the family circles may come with all their blessings, with their needs, with their desires, with the difficulties, with the trials, with their daily bread, but above all, with their sins, ah, Lord. Remember the family circles where there have come empty places, and where those places remain so empty and at times so sorely felt, wilt thou continue to uphold them and that it may all be used, that there may be an other morning, and that is a morning for our sins and the necessity to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, then we commend unto thee a young daughter who hopes to commemorate her birthday. Her thoughts also shall multiply, cannot be different, that there are times that she is discouraged, and with those wise, but, ah, Lord, then thou wast wonderfully watched over her in the past year. Wilt thou grant a heart to see thy hand therein? Remember all those that are near and dear unto her. An old father hopes to commemorate his birthday. Then thou wast spared for another year, then one more year. Then thou wast put dung around the tree of his life. Ah, Lord, remember him not only outwardly, insofar that it may please thee, but it may it please thee by thy free and sovereign grace to work lovingly and irresistibly in his heart, that the mustard seed of thy holy word, that it might find entrance into his heart, and then it shall bear fruit. Ah, do remember all the elderly ones. Remember all the afflicted ones, all under the physician's care, those who have underwent surgery and who stand in need of healing and of strengthening and of the soothing of their pain. Oh, do grant a place at thy footstool. And then in this week, toward the end, then an older mother is called upon to go to the hospital to undergo surgery. Then we humbly ask thee, wilt thou go with her, guide the hand of the physicians, bless the means, and above all, that it may please thee to use this calling for the saving of her never-dying soul. Remember her together with her husband. Lord, so we commend all those that have difficulties, trials, crosses, addictions, temptations, troubles. When the love is waxing cold, oh, may we be found to be more praying people. And as we have heard out of thy holy word, to be given to remember one another at the throne of grace. And Lord, when in our family circles, when there are not so many difficulties, when thou granteth health and strength, when love may abound, ah, may we not forget thee. Impress upon all of our hearts that we are only stewards, also concerning our health, concerning our goods, and may it then be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to that true repentance, ah, Lord. Impress it upon each of our hearts what thou wast said unto that dear Martha. Ah, she loved thee with her whole heart, but yet so busy serving. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Oh, do grant by thy grace that as a Mary, that we may learn to sit at thy feet and to be instructed by thee. Lord, we humbly ask thee in this evening hour for a blessing upon thy word. Ah, thou wast written in thy word that by the foolishness of preaching, that sinners shall be saved. May that take place in this evening hour, and where thou hast begun, ah, those little blades, it all lies so tender, and there can be so many questions and so many perplexities, and then they are given to beg for thy reviving, ah, for those little blades, one look and one word, and then they may joy with joy unspeakable. But the need for those further leadings, we need to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God for the pardoning of our sins. Lord, do bless the manifold means of grace in the church on the Sabbath day. Bless the confession of faith class. Bless the catechism classes, the house visitations. It all awaits for thy blessing. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers in their dwellings to instruct their children in that aforesaid doctrine, and bless our Christian school thou was granted in the past week, that the annual meeting could take place. Wilt thou bless the manifold labors, the three who were elected with the whole school board in their weighty and responsible task. Bless the administration, the principals, the teachers, all those that labor in the school. Wilt thou remember the bus drivers, where we have entered another winter season, where the roads can be so slippery and so treacherous. May they be carried upon the wings of prayer. Wilt thou remember all the students, the one has more talents than the other. And above all things, Lord, when thy word may be opened, make it a blessing for young and old. We commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth. The established churches continue to uphold the persecuted church mission work, also our mission field. Remember and help thy servants and the team, and do be mindful of that father and mother who are learning the language. May there be times that they may be given to experience thy special help and thy special presence. Remember the Jewish nation where there is war. May they be given to cry unto thee. May it be used in thy hand, that many a soul may come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Lord, do remember the nations of the earth. Remember our poor nation, where we have departed so far from thy word, from thy law, and from thy testimony. May we and our dear children be given to see the signs of the time. May we be given to hear the footsteps of the coming King. And may it be granted by thy Spirit, all among young and old, that there may be a hastening for our life's sake, that we may find a place of refuge. Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy help. Ah, make it an easy task. Grant the work of thy Spirit. May thy word go forth with power divine. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Give a little rest in thy house. Ah, there can be so many cares, temporal cares, that follow us into thy house, even against our will. But, ah, wilt thou grant a little rest, grant thy blessing, and grant thy favor, grant special tokens that thou knowest of us, Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 175, the four stanzas. Come all ye people, bless our God, and tell us glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life, who never lets our feet be moved, and though our faith he oft has proved, upholds us in the strife. And what follows, 175, the four stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 32, the question and answers 86 and 87. Question 86. Since then we are delivered from our misery merely of grace through Christ without any merit of ours, why must we still do good works? Answer, because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit after his own image, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for his blessings, and that he may be praised by us also, that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof, and that by our godly conversation others may be gained to Christ. Question 87. Cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? Answer, by no means. For the Holy Scripture declares that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or any such like shall inherit the kingdom of God. Lord's Day 32 speaks of good works genuinely manifested in the life of thankfulness, with three thoughts. In the first place, the divine must. Secondly, three divine mays. And thirdly, an absolute necessity. Good works genuinely manifested in the life of thankfulness. The divine must, three divine mays, and an absolute necessity. Beloved congregation, in this Lord's Day there is written the third part of thankfulness. We have heard at the beginning, for that only comfort, that three things are necessary to be learned. And our boys and girls, I think, that they can remember. In the first place, how great my sins and miseries are. Secondly, how I may be delivered. And thirdly, how to show gratitude for such deliverance. The Lord's Day number 2 through 4, they have spoken of the knowledge, the origin of our misery and the punishment of sin. Then we have heard in the Lord's Day 5 through 31 of the deliverance of man, Lord's Day number 5 and 6, concerning the necessity of the mediator. The Lord's Day 7 through 22, concerning faith and what we must believe Then in Lord's Day number 24, 23, the prophet of faith. In Lord's Day number 24, good works. And then the Lord's Day 25 through 30, concerning the means of grace, the sacraments. And in Lord's Day number 31 further, concerning the marks of the true church. Thus in this evening hour, by renewal, it goes over good works. And when we hear that word, then the Protestants, then we are a little reluctant concerning good works, because we know the Roman Catholic Church, they have stressed good works necessary to be saved. And then oftentimes in the time in the life of the church, we are people of reaction. Then it is possible that the pendulum, that it swings too far the other way. To give an example, Martin Luther, how clearly he has learned it, and we need to learn the same. And how did Martin Luther now find out that he could not be saved by his works, that he could not find rest for his soul? Martin Luther has found it out by trying it. Have we ever tried it, congregation? To be saved by our good works. But then you shall say, but we are reformed, and we have been taught so clearly that we can never be saved by our works. That is true. Hold on to that truth. But when the Lord now begins to work, and when we have an impression who the Lord is and who we are, how we have grieved Him by our sins, and it is true that repentance, that is a work of the Spirit, but now in that way, trying to satisfy justice, trying to please the Lord, and then by that deeper uncovering, to learn that we are only becoming a greater sinner, more black and more vile, and that our best works are polluted by sin. And now Martin Luther, and there are other churches that have went too far. Martin Luther has also stressed the necessity of a holy life. But if we could now visit Martin Luther, what do you now think about the book of James? He would tell us it's the word of God. But Martin Luther, he felt, and that was because he was given to glorify free and sovereign grace, and the fear to fall back in that covenant of works, that he was not so fond of the book of James. There are even churches, and that is because they have a desire to glorify free and sovereign grace, and the fear to take something away of that grace. Then there are even those that declare when a true child of God may receive the pardoning of sin, then he is finished with the law. But it is clear in God's holy word that it is not so. Then even the reformers, they have even been accused that they were not stressing good works enough. And to that end, they have written even whole books concerning the place of the law in the life of the church. We have heard it in the part of misery, for the uncovering of our sin in the part of deliverance, then there was pointed to Christ, that he has perfectly obeyed the law for his people, and now in the part of gratitude. Then concerning good works, if you can remember, then already we had a Lord's Day that is spoken of good works, and that is Lord's Day number 24. But now we must make a separation. In Lord's Day number 24, when there was speaking of good works, then it was in reference to justification. Then there was asked whether anything of our works, even a little part, could be included in that righteousness to justify, to satisfy the justice of God. And then the answer was clear. And then concerning merit, concerning reward, not of merit, but of grace. And then you can remember whether such a doctrine makes the church careless. How was that with us? The precious doctrines of free and sovereign grace. How does it affect our life? John Newton. There's nothing new under the sun. Already he has stated in a certain sermon that the precious doctrines of free and sovereign grace, that they are greatly misused. Then he has mentioned a few particulars. Then he has first spoken of the doctrines of election and grace. And he says there are people that use those doctrines to give them freedom to live in sin. Then secondly, he has stated concerning the perseverance of the saints, then there are souls that use it to rest in their convictions, and they come no further. Then concerning the inability of man, there are many that embrace it, and they use it as an excuse for their slothfulness. Fourthly, he has written in that sermon concerning the invitations and commands, then man holds on to that they can do nothing, and they do nothing. And then when there is lovingly admonished, then the church think they do well when they cry legalism. Maybe our name is mentioned. Oh, young and old, do you know what is now necessary? That by the work of the Spirit, that we are given to learn, to embrace, to experience those precious doctrines, and then we shall love them. Thus in Lord's Day number 24, it speaks of good works concerning justification. But now in this Lord's Day of thankfulness, then it speaks of good works in the part of sanctification. And justification is to be acquitted of evil, receive a right to eternal life. And sanctification means to be holy. And now it is so necessary and so profitable and so comforting for the true child of God that they are instructed concerning these matters. When they are not distinguished, then our way cannot be safe, as William Jay, a minister in England more than 60 years, has stated in a certain place. But then he has also stated, when they are separated, then you either have a self-righteous Pharisee or an antinomian. Thus the necessity to be instructed in the things of the Lord. And now concerning that term good works, we read it 16 times in the Bible, many similar terms, and we shall quote Ephesians 2 verse 10. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It seems like they are quoted more often than the 10th verse, and it is true. Oh, what precious verses they are. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, congregation, that is the only hope for us and our children. But then there is added in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And now concerning our Lord's day, then first the divine must, and then by renewal. Oh, then the instructors, we have heard it so often already, that each time by renewal, that the instructors are given to glorify free and sovereign grace, that one-sided work of the Lord by the Spirit in the heart of a sinner. And then by renewal, in the beginning of this part of thankfulness. And now we must not make the mistake that when the Lord works, that first we walk in our misery for a certain time, and then we are delivered, and then we become thankful. No. When the Lord begins to work, then also that gratitude that becomes evident in our life, it cannot be different, because when the Lord shows us what a sinner we are and that we have sinned against such a just and good-doing God, that godly sorrow, then there shall be that repentance, and then it becomes our desire to please the Lord. But now the question, and in that question, then the instructors, then they are given to mention the three parts that we and our children need to learn, shall we experience that true comfort. It is a precious confession. Since then, we are delivered from our misery. Are there souls that think to themselves in this evening, ah, that is my need, that is my desire, my prayer, that there may also come a time in my life that I may make such a confession. Oh, it is true. For those little plants, for those little blades, they are given to experience wonderful things. And when the sun may shine, when the dew may descend, the rain, when there may be a little flourishing, a little refreshment, then they may be so glad, so happy to be given to believe that indeed they may have a little crumb of that faith. But the instructors, we have heard it so often, that the instructors point to those further leadings, that we do not remain in our misery. It is true that misery shall be experienced till the very end. It shall be experienced in the way of thankfulness. Think of the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. As since then we are delivered from our misery. And then the instructors are given to use beautiful and strong language, merely of grace. Nothing can be added. Merely of grace, through Christ, without any merit of ours. Thus, what a precious confession that the instructors are given to begin with, the part of thankfulness. And then the question is, why must we still do good works? The question is, if it is all of grace, concerning meriting, can put no weight in the balance, why must such a one still do good works? And when we read of that word must, when we read of that word must, then we may speak of four matters. In the first place, it is an holy obligation where the child of God has received so much. The child could have now paid for it. Then in a certain sense, he could say it was his. But he has received everything freely, without money and without price, even in natural life, when we are in want and need, and we have a neighbor, a friend, that helps us out continually, never tired of helping, then we feel that obligation that we do not grieve such a one, and then we even have a desire when an opportunity would arise that we may give something back. And so it is with the church, a holy obligation to honor and glorify the Lord as benefactor for all his precious blessings. Then secondly, that must, that is a holy necessity. I read in 2 Timothy 2 verse 19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And everyone that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he has become a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. Oh, it is such a wonderful work. Thus a holy necessity that flows forth out of a new nature. Thus, boys and girls, you must not think that in the life of the true child of God, at least, when they are in the right place, can also be in the wrong place, but when they are in the right place, and when that love is shed abroad in their heart, a love to the Lord, and for everything that pertains to the Lord, that it is not so in the life of a child of God that they think, I now have a little hope, that I may be a little blade, that the Lord has begun that good work. Thus now I must become busy performing good works. It's not the way it is. Then it is only legalism. And it is true. Much legalism left in the beginning, but our godly divines have also spoken in the part of sanctification that there can be such a mixing up of that covenant of works and that covenant of grace. But to make it simple for our boys and girls, then let us think of a bird, a robin, in the springtime. And how do you now think it is with a robin? Is it now so that a robin thinks, I am now a robin, thus then I better sing when I arise in the morning as a robin? It's not the way it works. It is because they are created as a robin, the nature of a robin, that they are given to sing as a robin. Thus concerning that must, a holy obligation, a holy necessity, and thirdly, a holy evidence and proof. Christ, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7, the verses 16 through 20, then he has spoken of a tree, and by their fruits ye shall know them. Let us also mention Matthew 6, where there is spoken of salt and of light. Thus a holy obligation, a holy necessity, a holy evidence, and one more. What would that one more now be? A holy desire. Ah, when it is tender, when that heart is soft, then they have such a vehement desire to please their Maker, their Benefactor, and their Savior. Think of Psalm 148. Oh, and those psalms, those last five psalms, they begin with praise ye the Lord, and they end with praise ye the Lord. And in Psalm 148, because when the Lord works, then we do not only have a desire that we may be given, and the church needs to learn also in the part of sanctification, the preciousness and the necessity of the threefold office of Christ. Always profit that they may be taught, but also concerning that atoning. Because in the part of sanctification, then there is that need that they may be given to flee daily to that fountain, and as King, concerning all those enemies. Thus, a holy must, and in the Scripture it is clear that it is the purpose of election, as we read in Ephesians 4, verse 1, also the purpose and ending of justification, as we read in Psalm 130, verse 4, but there is forgiveness that thou mayest be feared. O Christ, he has delivered his church from their debt, from their guilt, from the punishment, but also from the dominion of sin. It's not mean that it may not rage, but Christ has merited for his church and then the instructors, then in that answer given to glorify free and sovereign grace, because Christ having redeemed and delivered us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit after his own image. In Romans 8, verse 29, we read that the child of God becomes conformable to the image of God. Oh, in the part of thankfulness, then it shall be with the psalmist of old. What shall he render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? But now in this question and answer, we do not only read of a divine must, but the instructors in that answer, they have four times used that word may. That is the privilege, but also an enticement for the child of God for a tender and close walk. That is our second thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 6, the stanzas 3 through 6. But know the Lord has set apart the man of godly life and heart to be his favored one for aye. Jehovah hears me when I pray. And what follows, Psalter 6, the stanzas 3 through 6. God works genuinely manifested in the life of thankfulness. The divine must, and now secondly, three divine mays. And then the instructors, they have spoken of that wonder, not only of the must, but also of those mays, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct, our gratitude to God for his blessings. Has that become our desire and our prayer? My unconverted fellow travelers, boys and girls, young people and older ones, has that become our prayer at times? Lord, may it now be, by thy free and sovereign grace, by the work of thy Spirit, that I may be included in that number, that may have a little beginning of that praise. That is the purpose we read thereof in Revelations 4 verse 11, that John on the island Patmos, that he was given to see four beasts, 24 elders, and they were given to exclaim, "For thou art worthy to receive honor and power and glory, for thou hast created all things, and for thy glory they were created." And then, boys and girls, then we do not have to be old. We read in Psalm 8 that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, the Lord has ordained strength. Oh, there have been boys and girls, as soon as they could speak, that it was evident that they were so busy with the things of the Lord. Thus the necessity that the church may, that is a may, that has been merited by Christ Jesus, and which is granted by the work of the Holy Spirit, so that we may, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct. It's not only in public, not only in church. Where does that may now begin? That begins in secret. Begins at the throne of grace, with those new desires and new longings. Ah, then those souls, they have a desire that the Lord may be praised by them. But then they have the desire that all people would be converted, that they may experience something of the wonderful things of the Lord, what it is to be saved by grace, and that all people would be given to praise. And concerning that praise, that is confession, that is a godly walk, because when there is a confession, and when it is not accompanied by a godly walk, does not make our children jealous. Oh, as a general rule, then it shall be the walk before the talk. And it is true that people, they can go so guilty over the earth. so busy with the things of the Lord. And there can be times when the Lord comes over that they have the desire to tell everyone the blessed things of the Lord. They also learn that they need the Spirit to grant liberty to speak of the wonderful things of the Lord. The Lord can have such dumb children, but at the Lord's time, they shall be given to speak. I read in Isaiah 43, verse 21, "This people have I formed unto myself, and they shall show forth my praise in all of their conduct." That is that dependent life, walking in the tender fear of the Lord, bound at the throne of grace. And then also concerning this Lord's day, then the true child of God shall come into guilt, many times more seen by their neighbor than by themselves on the day of Pentecost. Then the neighbor saw the tongues of fire upon the heads of their fellow man, but they were not given to see it themselves. Secondly, that everyone may be assured. And then the instructors have added also that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. Thus the instructors are not given to speak of the assurance of the justification, but the assurance of faith. Ah, what those souls with that little blade, the faith as a mustard seed, then so often they can be questioned and attacked whether it is the true faith at all. How those souls can be troubled. But now the instructors, they have written based upon God's holy word that souls not only in beginning but also in the furtherance may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. When a child of God, in a way in time of backsliding, does not live that tender faith, then they shall experience much darkness. Confession can still be reformed, but they shall not experience those special tokens and comforts. They shall not be given to walk in that holy joy. We have examples in the scriptures. Let us mention Abraham. In Genesis 14, with God's help, he was given to rescue Lot and his family, has met Melchizedek and the king of Sodom, and he was given, has given such a glorious testimony. Oh, Abram was still walking with his riddles out his little Isaac. And then after that time, then we read that the Lord has come with those special words of assurance. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. In Genesis 18, when Abram was by the work of the Spirit, that he was given to plead for Sodom and Gomorrah, then we read with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah that the Lord remembered Abram. Let us especially mention Genesis 22. Oh, undoubtedly was in the life of Abram what he was given to reflect, what he was given to perform by true saving faith, ready with that knife to slaughter his son. When he was given to reflect, then maybe he thought, how was I unable to do it? Sometime in the life of the church, when the Lord grants boldness, when they may be given to stand alone, then they are given to be wondered that the Lord has given such a freedom. And now we read specifically that after that has taken place, and the ram has been sacrificed, that the Lord has come over with renewed promises. We read in Colossians 1 verse 9, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and then the added blessing and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then thirdly, and that by our godly conversation, we must understand that in the time when our catechism was written and the King James Version was translated, that that word conversation, that it had a broader meaning than today. Today, when we speak of conversation, then we speak of our speaking. But in the time of the Bible and in the time of our catechism, then that word conversation, that refers to our whole walk. Thus, that by our godly conversation, by our walk, others may be gained to Christ. Thus, a godly, a tender, a dependent, let us add humble, a humble life, reflecting Bibles, that arouses to a holy jealousy. Through the ages, the New Testament church, when the gospel was brought, then people have kept a very close eye upon people that have professed the gospel. Then they have given close eye the relationship between husbands and wives. Has that become better? Tender husbands, tender wives, boys and girls honoring and obeying their parents. Oh, in the time of the Reformation, what numbers have been won over when they were given to experience, behold, the kindness, the help of those that have been won over by the Reformation. Thirdly, an absolute necessity. Then we read, cannot they then be saved who continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives? Two matters are mentioned. Wicked, not respect for God's word, loose life, but also ungrateful lives. But then there is added, and that grants hope. There is that word continuing, and then there is written, are not converted to God. It's congregation. Then the instructors in that question are speaking that we must not continue, and that we need to be converted to God. May we be given to beg much for that wonderful renewing work of grace in the hearts of us and our children. And then the instructors have quoted the scriptures. They have declared that such people cannot inherit. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. For the unconverted, they desire, of course there can be many trials, but the desire to remain upon the earth, that is not possible, because we must die and appear before our Maker in hell. Is such a terrible place, and that to all eternity. But now when I am unconverted, then I cannot go to heaven, and no desire for heaven, because I do not love holiness. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, in this Lord's Day, there is spoken of that free and sovereign grace, and I read that the Lord will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. Then we could ask in this evening the question which the rulers have asked John the Baptist in John 1 verse 22, what sayest thou of thyself? It is true. We can have wrong thoughts. Then secondly, what sayest thy neighbor, family circle, shall be seen. And above all, what sayest God? The old John, he is written in 1 John 5 verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day, and that we could come up to thy house. Well, to add thy blessing. We have heard of that must. But we have also heard of those precious mays. Lord, we humbly beg of thee. Well, to pour out thy spirit richly. For the unconverted, wilt thou begin that good work. And where thou hast begun, wilt thou further it. We may commence another week. Wilt thou remember tomorrow evening, when the catechism classes may meet, bring us together for a weekday service, when we hope to remember the wonders of old, which thou hast done in thy church. Wilt thou keep us in the home, help the mothers during the day, at night with the children, remember at work, remember at school, remember on the way wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou remember our studying youth who are studying at institutions of higher learning. Wilt thou watch over them? Wilt thou now bring us safely to our homes? Lord, grant a prayer for one another. May the seed of thy word, may it have fallen in different hearts. And wilt thou also be the after preacher? Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 407, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Oh, praise ye the Lord and sing a new song. Amid all the saints, his praises prolong. And what follows, Psalter 407, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.